It's from Acts 1:8 NIV. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You may be seated.
This on? Okay, it is. Yeah, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much. We stand in awe of you because you are awesome. We sit at your feet to learn. We love you so much. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the work that he did on the cross so that we would have the opportunity to go boldly before your throne. We thank you for each and every student that is here with a willingness and a humbleness to learn from the believers that went before them. We thank you for all of the faculty and staff here. We thank you for Professor Hardy and my friend Glennie and all of my friends. We thank you for the freshmen. We thank you for the seniors. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Not a very traditional person, but I like Glennie to read because Glennie has a voice that's just very majestic and it captures people, and I tend to be a little more nerdy, and I'm not, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's like, you don't really hear me talk that much. And I talk too much anyway, never really have anything to talk about. But what we're going to look into, because we're on a campus with students, and if you're not a missionary now, coming in the doors, all you freshmen out there, I don't know you, please introduce yourself to me. If you're not a missionary now, you will be by your junior year, trust me. If you don't have a heart for missions now, you will be brought into that by your junior year. So what we're going to talk about is Acts 1:8, when Jesus was ready to go back to sit with the Father. And before he left in Acts 1:8, he told his disciples that they will receive power to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And when he said that, let me look at it here, if we have it pulled up. I think I have the wrong scripture. Okay. That's why I had Glennie read. It's like, I'm one of those people, I got to fumble through the Bible because I still have to look in the front to find a passage. I wasn't a church person or a believer before I came to DCC, so I still have a hard time finding them. But he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the type of people we are, we're like go-getters. We're ready to go. We're ready to go out into the field. We're ready to serve. We're ready to go to the ends of the earth. We're ready to get our passport. We're ready to get our license. We're ready to go out there. I'm like that. I have like zeal like Peter. I'm like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Oh, I'm so ready. I'm about it. I'm about to do that. Get it done. Yes. But when we look at this scripture, and there's one thing that I want to emphasize, is that Jesus said, I will give you power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And I want to take some time to cipher through that, because sometimes we'll skip into going to Jerusalem, going to Judea, going to Samaria, and we don't stop and focus on the Holy Spirit and his role in our going. I'm about to cry. Don't do it, Lord. Seriously. For real. If we think about the Holy Spirit, because we talk about Jesus, we talk about the Father, but how often we talk about the Holy Spirit? And it's not your fault. Don't worry about it. We have a Western thought. We're not big on mysticism, so talking about the Holy Spirit is just spooky. It's like, ooh, Holy Spirit. It's just a little weird. You go to Eastern cultures, it's fine. They'll talk about it all day, right? But we really need to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Because if you think about it, why is it that the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? If it was blasphemy against Jesus, I would have been X'd off a long time ago because I used to let Jesus have it. But if we look at Luke 11, 8 through 13, got that? Okay, if we pull it up. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, give him a scorpion? Now, this is the main part. Pay attention to this part. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I grew up around people who said, knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find. And they were talking about money. He wasn't talking about money. There's two things in the Bible that God say you can ask for and you will get it. Holy Spirit, wisdom. Holy Spirit, wisdom. Holy Spirit, wisdom. When we don't focus on the person of the Holy Spirit in our going, we are forgetting the cross and the work that Jesus has done so that we can receive the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, our advocate, who guides us through life. And often we overlook the Holy Spirit because it's strange or it's spooky or he's weird. And I say it, but it's really a he because he's a person. And without the Holy Spirit, look at it this way. Without the Holy Spirit, when it's time for your senior sermon or my senior sermon, the difference is, without the Holy Spirit, that this is not a sermon. This is a speech. When worshipers come up here to lead in worship, and they're not filled with the Holy Spirit and acting through the Holy Spirit, it's not worship. It's a concert. Watch this. Even our attendance in chapel. See, we come in and we badge in and we get attendance. But the difference between a person that has the Holy Spirit is that they're not here to attend. They're here to pay attention. That's the difference. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and therefore our actions are through him. And we look at the fruit of the Spirit and our going out. Sorry, I need water. That was not a commercial. Love, joy, peace, meekness, kindness, goodness. Self-discipline. We need the Holy Spirit before we go anywhere. And I urge you, as much as you know Christ, as much as you know this word, as much as you like to worship, worship in spirit and in truth. One of the main things I learned before I became a Christian, because I was an atheist, and it was like this thing of love and truth. Truth, truth, truth by itself. Bible thumper. Know the word. I know the word. I know the word. I know the word. I'm going to give you truth, 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 truth. If I give you truth all the time, that's a little cruel. And that's when you beat people up with the word. That's when you're going to go to hell. Wait, they don't even know what hell is. You're telling them you're going to hell. They don't know the word. On the opposite end of the spectrum, if we're spirit, what we tend to do is we tend to spoil people, enable them. I love you. It's okay. Come as you are and stay as you are. So we're not challenging them with our lives. And that's why it is so instrumental to worship in spirit and in truth, because that is wisdom. Not just one or the other. There was a lady that was in church, and she was singing in the choir. She's on a deacon board. She was an usher. Had you spit out your gum when you walked in. On communion day, she wore the big white hat with the big white robe and sat in the front. And you could not sit in her seat or she would give you that look. She had the stockings on with the run in them sometimes. You're like, you got to run, but you don't want to say it. She was there faithfully every single Sunday. But when she went to heaven and she's standing at the gates and she said, Father, can I come in? She could be denied as well. Because she could be in church her whole life and work her butt off. But until she's focused on that cross and her faith and receive the Holy Spirit, because that is her faith. God is her faith. What Jesus did on the cross, that she believes that. Therefore, she believes in the Spirit. She might not make it in. And she was in church her whole life. So what does it look like when we do go? What does it look like when we do go? Because Jesus told his disciples, go into Jerusalem. The ironic thing was, they were already in Jerusalem when he said, go into Jerusalem. It's like, what? Go here? Yes, go here. Go to DCC right now. Yes. And be my witnesses. I mean, think of a witness. The word witness comes from the Greek word martyreus. Sounds like a familiar word called martyr. It is. Martyr. When believers would talk about Jesus or believe in Jesus or preach the gospel of Jesus, they were martyred. They were killed. They weren't just killed, they were stoned. They faced gruesome deaths. They were hung. The issue that we have, because when we look at Acts 4 and all the things that we pray for, dear Lord, give me a new job, give me a pay raise, give me money, help me with my studies. When we look at Acts 4 as the believer, as the active Christian, as the missionary Christian, as the one who is filled with the Holy Spirit, and we look at Jesus' disciples, we notice that they prayed for courage to preach the gospel. They prayed for courage because they knew that they could be stoned. They knew that they could be hung on a cross. How often do we pray for courage? Right here. We don't want to look weird. We don't want to look peculiar. We don't want to look awkward. So we don't go to someone in need of Jesus and share with them the gospel and give them love or even care for them or shake their hand because this person is different than I am. Or my friends might look at me like I'm strange because I'm associating with someone who is lower than me from my perspective. So we don't witness because we're afraid. And I say afraid of what? Embarrassment? You might look weird. I'm going to tell you something. People that are weird, me being one of them. You were weird before Jesus, okay? Don't blame it on God that you became weird. I became a Christian and I got, no, you were weird. The Lord just opened your eyes to your peculiarities. You were weird, trust me. I was weird and I was an atheist. I was just a weird atheist. Now that I'm a Christian, I'm a weird Christian, okay? You're gonna be weird, it's fine. That means you're unique. You stand for what you believe in. And put the label out. You stand for what you believe in. You're not following the trends of their culture. And guess what? Not everyone at DCC is a Christian. So when we go here, we go to DCC, and we say, wow, man, listen, I'm trying to change. Got to do this, right? But then we go back home, and we start to learn that back home, our people were just as lost as well in that Jerusalem. And in that Jerusalem, we go back to our families. And I'm going to tell you something that me and my brothers did, because I haven't been back home in 7 years. And I just went back yesterday, got back in on my flight last night. And it's in Niagara Falls, New York. Very cold place. Very miserable. It rained the whole time. Ugh. Okay. 7 years. Back there. My brothers were doing the same thing they did 7, 8 years ago. Sitting on a porch, getting drunk, and what do you call it? Slamming each other. Roasting each other, snapping on each other, and ribbing on each other. Yo, mama's so ugly. I'm like, y'all got the same mother. What are you talking about? Listen, here's the thing. They were doing the same thing, right? Now, I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth. I was the main one. I'm the smallest one of my brothers. I used to rib them out so bad, they used to just beat me up because they had nothing else to say. Like, whatever, I'll just beat you up, okay? You know? So they were just slamming each other and drinking, and I learned from my Christian experience that we have blind spots when it comes to our family and our culture. That we see that our family, everything that they do is right, everything that our culture does is right, and we're not paying attention to this word to correct us and convict us and to change us so that we can be a light to people at home. You see, I can't participate in coarse joking. If anyone knows me, you know you cannot converse with me if you are a person that is very sarcastic. If you use sarcasm to belittle others, I don't like it because I used to do it. And that was a part of myself that I hate. But that was a blind spot for me because everyone else did it and Christians did it. It was okay because it was funny. No, it's not. It's not. Because really, really, when someone's belittling someone else, it's pride. Because it's focusing on oneself and they're putting down someone else so that they can feel better about themselves. Because they're not walking in the confidence of God and their identity and God every day listening to him to edify and be encouraged to who he says they are. So they have to talk about somebody else and put somebody else down. I did that. What we have to notice about our culture as well is that our spiritual health affects others. Our relationship with God affects our relationship with others. I got so frustrated the other day because I got like 5 or 6 phone calls and they were about relationships. And I'm like, oh, especially the people that don't listen. I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to you. But here, ministry is about relationships. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, our relationship with people. And if we aren't in right relationship with God, that's going to affect our relationship with the people back home. So we really have to be mindful of that. So the next place he said to go, I have these out of order, Judea. Judea. So city, country. City, Jerusalem, country, Judea. People come to me and say, well, I don't watch the news. I don't watch the news because it's depressing. Yes, the news is depressing. Because every time we turn around, there's a shooting. There's someone kidnapped. There's a death. There's a murder. There's a rape. There's something going on in our country that we cannot turn a blind eye to. There's a guy, he's just sitting around and he was complaining. And I remember when I was a complainer, the Lord spoke to me and he said, don't complain about something that you're not going to do anything about. We watch the news and we get depressed and we don't do anything about it. So we just turn off the TV. That's a TV, but in all actuality, that's our country. That's people that are suffering. You see? And in Judea, there were people without Christ still in that country, just like here, that need care and that need God. And so when we watch the news, because it's not just a TV, it is the country, it's just a vision into the country. Our mindset should be, who can I reach next? Where can I go next? Whose life can I impact next? Who can I be an influence to? How can I be a light? I remember when I heard that, I was like, man, why doesn't somebody just come out with a channel called Good News? Where you have a news channel, and it doesn't show the bad news that's going on, but it's showing the work that the believers are doing all around this country, how they're responding. Because here's the thing. When Katrina happened, there was this big thing. I didn't even know what FEMA was until Katrina happened. Like, anybody hear of FEMA before Katrina? No, I didn't. So Katrina happened, then FEMA happened. And we didn't hear about Katrina anymore. We heard about FEMA. And FEMA messed it up. You know, the hurricane hit FEMA. They didn't do their job really well. Right now, every time we turn on the news, there's a crisis. What's the one right now? Government shutdown. Government shutdown. 2 weeks into government shutdown. I'm going to tell you why the government's shutting down. Because they do not have the ability to do what the church has the ability to do. Let me iterate that, because I don't think that penetrated. They are trying to do what the church is called to do, and they do not have the Holy Spirit to do it. Therefore, they're going to shut down. We have that ability. We have that ability. So, we look at our country. We look outside of our country. We look at those that are different than us in a very diverse room full of black people, white people, Asian people, Mexicans, Hispanics, and all sorts of beautiful colors and races. I love it. God's manifold wisdom. You very colorful people. Yes. We look across the room and sometimes we see people different than us. And people that society says that are lower than us. And people say, Nathaniel, why did you ask for a white mentee? Yes, I asked for a white mentee, and I'm going to tell you why. Status quo says that a black guy can't mentor a white guy. Therefore, I want to mentor a white guy just to break status quo, because that's what I like to do. And when I get older, I'm going to adopt little white children. Yes, I am. Because I love little white children, just like I love little black children. And when I go out on a mission field, I want to go with this very beautiful, diverse group of people. I like to break status quo. I'm sorry. I'm weird. I was weird before I was a Christian. Listen, so when we do see people different than us and we go and we try to reach them, what tends to happen is we come in like the Anglo-Western hero from America. And we want to teach, give, but not look at that person as an equal. When we look at the story of how Jesus encountered a Samaritan, because we have to always look, what did Jesus do? What did he do? What did he do? We look at when he encountered a Samaritan, the first thing he said to her is, can you draw me some water? Why is that significant? Because sometimes when I feel like someone is lower than me, I don't want to receive anything from them. It's a part of my prideful nature to give to them and dump on them and pour on them just so I can brag about myself. Look what I did, superhero American. I experienced this, and I had to learn the hard, cold lesson that even though I'm this big, buff, black guy from the United States, yeah, I'm over in Europe, right? And I'm playing pool, and I cannot play pool or basketball. Yeah. And so one of the guys that was homeless his whole life, in and out of prison, came up to me and said, Nathaniel, I'll teach you how to play pool. And I said, you can't teach me how to play pool. He said, yes, I can. I said, no. And I kept trying to play. Another guy came to me, you should let this person teach you how to play pool. I'm like, no, he's been homeless and on the streets his whole life. Why would I teach him? This superhero American guy, let him teach me how to play pool. I'm here to teach him. Doesn't work that way. See, what I had to learn was that even though someone is different than me, they can still teach me. What that does for a person is it restores their integrity. Only thing they want you to do is recognize that they are a person just like you. So when they offer you something, even though it might look nasty, or like, say, for instance, my family likes to cook macaroni and cheese, collard greens, yams, and fried chicken, right? I invite my white friend over. My white friend's like, yes, I'm going to partake, because guess what? That makes my family feel like they're a person. So when I go to your house, I'm going to eat your lasagna and your quiche and your, you know. So, but that's what it does. That we're on equal playing field when we can receive and give to each other. When we can seek to understand before we're understood. When we can seek to learn as much as we're taught when we're in Samaria. Because the Jews did not like Samaritans. But here's the thing. If we notice that the woman at the well, she said, are you greater than Jacob, our father? She said that to Jesus, who is a Jew. If she said Jacob, our father, that means they come from the same blood of Jacob. Which means, even though she's a Samaritan and he was a Jew, that they're family. We all come from Noah. If you believe in the flood, there was Noah, there were his sons, nobody else. That means we're all related, okay? Something I had to learn. That was something I had to learn. I'm going to tell a story about Allie Borders, and we're driving, and I'm driving along. Now, Allie Borders is probably the whitest white person I know, you know, and I'm not by far the blackest black person I know, but I'm sitting there driving. I said, well, Allie, and we're talking about our kids. I was like, Allie, what are you going to name your kids when you have your kids? And she said, well, if my husband is black, she did not rule out anybody. She did not have prejudice or preference. She did not look at people in a caste or a degree, but for who they all are. And so she's allowing God to work in her life. We talk about the ends of the earth, and that's where we're going, Kingdom Week. Jessica Moore here? There you go. Sonia, Guatemala this summer. Hey, Guatemala this summer. We sent a scout to Guatemala just to check out and everything and check out the directory. Say, we're going to go to Guatemala. Yay. I don't speak Spanish, but we need to learn it. And she's fluent in Spanish. And she said that the locals there, I'm about to cry because I'm so proud of you. The locals there connected with the DCC students more than they connected with anyone else. You impacted their lives more than anybody else, all of the number of interns that was on that trip. You were the most significant. I'm going to give you a round of applause. Because you didn't simply go with a humanitarian effort like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt to adopt little African babies. No, you went to love, and you went with the Holy Spirit. And you loved them in a way that they hadn't seen in so long. I'm so proud of you. And I'm thankful that you are here at Dallas Christian College to learn from these wonderful professors. While we're learning and we're getting all this truth and knowledge, let's pray for the Holy Spirit. Go home tonight, and if you have not received the Holy Spirit and you do not know who he is and you don't want to seem weird or creepy around your friends, pray for him by yourself. Ask for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And when you ask for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and he does and everything becomes greener and bluer and everything looks great and you start to love people and you have this pureness of heart thing and you start to see people with the perspective that God sees them, keep praying for the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you every day. So when you go to be a witness. Thank you.